Welcome to Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with your host, Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. It is so nice to have you with us. It really is. I enjoy this show so much. And joining me, one of our regulars, it is none other than Mark Goldman, Managing Partner and Media Relations Specialist and talk show commentator, who comes on and gives us the business aspect and the news about what's happening around the world, around the globe, when it comes to all things cannabis, including CBD. And, you know, I just have to say, Mark, that I would have thought that by this point in time that people would get over the fact that I do a show on cannabis, all forms of cannabis, CBD. I do, you know, we talk about everything on this show, from CBD right. to cannabis. Well, I got...
People are offended by this?
Well, I got an email. There was a guest making the rounds about her new book. And I got an email saying that they would have to skip all of my shows because I do a show on cannabis and it would be in conflict with her recovery. And this is what the publicist, and I thought, I haven't done a very good job educating people, have I? Because that kind of mentality is, first of all, I am shocked, absolutely shocked that that mentality is happening, because this show is so important. It is educating people. It's giving people opportunities to hear from practitioners, from doctors, from lawyers, from all walks of life about this miraculous plant. And
you know,
I'm
actually going through the same sort of discrimination as well. It's not a secret that I utilize THC products, whether it be for medical, whether it be for social or recreational, and it's no secret at all. And it's also no secret that I'm a divorced father, very professional entrepreneur, and single guy. And when I date some women, they're very much against this, and it's a deal breaker.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. And I've known you for decades. You and I have a very long connection. And I have never known you to be inappropriate, whether in person or anywhere in my dealings. And so for anyone to think that the fact that you use cannabis, that you're a cannabis user, and by the way, it does help you with your Tourette's. You've been very open and honest about that on air.
Absolutely.
So it just blows me away that in this day and age that kind of mentality, and yet do people realize that you can die from the withdrawal of alcohol and not from heroin? I'm just saying that those are the basic facts. And it's a horrible withdrawal for either. But when you are highly addicted to alcohol, and I used to be years ago, many decades ago, I was an alcoholism counselor, and I used to carry little nips in my purse, because when I would pick someone up and take them to detox, I would make sure I had to find out when was the last time they had a drink, because if they had gone a very long time, they can go through the DTs, and you don't want that to happen, especially in your car. So I would give them a nip to get them to the detox. And so our own thinking about the fact that you can drink beer, and people think that a six-pack, I know families that go through beer, so much of it in a weekend, and they don't think they have a problem.
In Boston, never.
Yeah, really. But the point though is that the mores, the attitudes that we have need to change, because they just do. They really need to change. So I'm thrilled that we get to do these segments, and I'm thrilled that we get to talk about this, because it's an important subject. It's going to change the economy of our country. We have a story today about hemp and the recycling, and how hemp could be the savior on many fronts, So a lot of work still to be done, but you're here for the full hour because we have a lot of stories. So welcome back, my dear friend. All right, let's begin. So tell us about your story number one. And by the way, before I forget, Forbes magazine in 2021 named Goldman McCormick America's best PR agency. So congratulations on that. I always like to mention that because it's such
Thank
a wonderful honor. Okay, so story number one.
So a offbeat idea to finally approve federal marijuana legalization is gaining cannabis reform advocates talking, Frankie. What about adding THC cannabis to low THC hemp in the next farm bill? It's an idea a few cannabis advocacy communities really have considered, but the suggestion isn't coming from just any pro-legalization member of Congress. It's an idea from a powerful gatekeeper, the chair of the House Agriculture Committee. He's a Democratic Rep. David Scott from Georgia. Scott floated the idea a couple months ago after hearing powerful testimony from Amber Littlejohn, the executive director of the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Little John, Frankie, told lawmakers that small and minority-owned marijuana companies won't survive without some help from Congress, adding that state-level social equity programs have not been able to keep many minority owners' business afloat. In response, Frankie, Scott said the next farm bill coming up in 2023 should address the barriers that small businesses and black entrepreneurs faced when trying to start legal marijuana companies under the state law. So this is very, very interesting, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know how it will. You know, nothing surprises me, though, about this plant. So I don't know. I mean, Massachusetts is a perfect example. When they first put it on the ballot, everybody laughed and said it'll take several attempts before it passes. And of course it passed. It passed on the first ballot. And then the second question was, well, how do we regulate it? And then that took forever to find committees. And then after they did all that, they realized they didn't build in enough for minorities and diversification. And so it took a long time for them to get their act together, but they finally did, and you know, it's been beneficial for everybody. But yeah, I like the fact that might be put into the bill. That would be pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Definitely interesting. It would definitely help out the you know, smaller business owners that are competing with black market or you know, the bigger companies out there. So very interesting.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. So New Jersey is back in the news, and tell us why.
So New Jersey's recreational cannabis market is gearing up to launch within a few weeks, and are poised to become one of the largest on the East Coast, with annual sales projected to top $2 billion within just a few years, Frankie. The state is positioned to beat my home state of New York to the punch, and to match it, if not succeed it. Massachusetts is annual adult use sales as well. So they're saying New Jersey is going to beat New York and maybe exceed or even surpass Massachusetts. Like most markets, part of me, industry officials are concerned about whether supply will be adequate to meet demand. at least in the early stages. This is a big, big problem for a lot of states. They just don't have the product to offer. Frankie, New Jersey's adult use market, approved by voters in November 2020, is expected to launch with only a handful or so of the state's existing medical cannabis operators. Existing medical marijuana operators might get such as 18-month head start on the new cannabis businesses, but nobody's exactly sure of that yet. So, you know what? Something to cross the bridge about. We used to cross the bridge to get cheaper gas from New York to New Jersey. Now, I'm going to cross the bridge to get some products.
Why not? Why not? All right. We have a lot more with Mark right here on Cannabis Talk A to Z and Educational Odyssey. Mark Goldman, Managing Partner and Media Relations Specialist at Goldman McCormick PR. I'm Frankie Boyer. And we will be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk A to Z and Educational Odyssey. Joining me for the full hour, there's so many stories to cover today. So many stories. And Mark Goldman is back with us. Before we get to our next story, we covered a story a couple of weeks ago on, we had a woman who's from Canada who's creating an Airbnb for cannabis users. And I was talking to another publicist yesterday, and we were talking about, would you go to a Airbnb that was designed to just, if you wanted to smoke, the home was designed for smoking, and would you bring the kids? Interesting question, Mark Goldman.
Absolutely. Well, I have a 13-year-old and an almost 15-year-old, and I would not bring the kids just because it's a little early for them to start experimenting or anything else, and probably illegal. Also, the kids do not know my recreational or social or medical activities always, so I would probably leave them at home. But I definitely want to go to a trip to go to an Airbnb or establishment of such that has cannabis readily available all the time in different kinds. That's fun.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Your next story about New Mexico.
Yeah, so Frankie, New Mexico just rolled out the nation's newest adult marijuana market, on April 1st, with a focus on providing plentiful opportunities to small businesses in the first state to establish an adult-use industry next to Texas, which is really, really interesting. Sales are expected to hit $400 million within 5 years, with New Mexico marijuana businesses likely benefiting from neighborhood Texas driving across the border to buy recreational cannabis products. All licensed businesses were able to start sales on April 1st, although many new producers and retailers are still building out their operations or getting municipal approvals. Frankie, as a result, the adult use rollout for new licensed businesses is expected to be more gradual than for existing medical marijuana operators. Finally, New Mexico's programs features unlicensing microbusiness categories and a license fee discount for retailers that accept cannabis products on consignment from microbusiness producers. So it's really, really interesting that they're taking, marijuana and THC and cannabis and hemp from smaller base farms and maybe even local.
I love this.
Utilize in their businesses.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. And I think it's also an opportunity. Cottage businesses, the little moms and pops of the world, the small companies have an opportunity to get into the game.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing.
I really do. I think it is a wonderful thing. Really good thing. All right. What's going on in Detroit as we roll around the country today with Mark Goldman?
Absolutely.
Here on Cannabis Talk.
I just want to remind people about the last story in New Mexico. The big thing here is sales are expected to hit $400 million within 5 years. Can you think how many tax dollars will actually help that state out? It's just incredible. And good luck to New Mexico, really.
That's why this is a game changer for every state. This is an opportunity to bring in revenue when, quite honestly, we're in a time where pricing is going up, up, up. We have a world that is the shortages from the chain supply stories. This is not going away. Car prices, I mean, gas prices, everything. So imagine having extra money to help these states recover from what we're all going through.
You know what somebody really needs to figure out? They need to figure out a THC-based gasoline for cars. What do you think?
Get those cars on that road. Get them higher. That's right. Higher.
Exactly. So then they'll fly into the drive. Anyway, the Detroit City Council finally signed off on a long-awaited local ordinance to kickstart the municipality's, adult-use marijuana industry. The business licenses is scheduled to commence, on April 20th, the official or unofficial marijuana holiday, a.k.a. 420. According to the Detroit Free Press, there will be no caps on licenses for cultivators and processors, and businesses seeking those licenses will be allowed to start submitting applications on the great holiday of 420. However, a maximum of 100 retail licenses will be issued during an application window that might not begin for the next 100 days, after 420, the Detroit Metro Times reported. Also, half the retail permits will be reserved for social equity applicants, which a lot of people have different opinions based. Anyway, the applications for consumption lounges, which I love, it's a great thing. Lounges are amazing for this. Also wouldn't be accepted immediately, and it's unclear when that window may or may not open. But most likely, it's about 100 days after the April 20th start date.
Okay,
according to the Detroit Free Press, Frankie, there are no caps on licenses for cultivators, processors, and again, businesses, which is super, super important. I just want to reiterate that point.
Yes. And by the way, do you know where 420 came from, where that day came from? It's really a fun story.
You know what? I have no idea, to be super honest with you, but I would love to hear it, and I can't wait
to
celebrate with you.
So the origins of the term 420 date back to the 1970s when a group of five high school teenagers in California used to meet they were from San Rafael, the Bay Area, would meet every day at 4:20 each week in search of a cannabis plant that was supposedly left behind in a forest by the U.S. Coast Guard members who could no longer tend to the crop. That's where it came from.
Oh, that's crazy. Who have any idea about that?
Yeah, so these kids would try and look for this plant but that's how it came. For some reason it was 420. So these five high school students used the term 420 in connection with a plant to search for an abandoned cannabis crop, and it stuck. Too bad those guys didn't capitalize on it. Isn't that crazy? But it's like folklore, but that's how it came about. All right, we are at break time. I can't believe it. We have to take a quick break, but we will be back with more stories, more information, more tidbits, more of everything, because this is Cannabis Talk, A to Z, an educational odyssey. This is Frankie Boyer along with Mark Goldman, Goldman McCormick PR. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back, Frankie Boyer. Cannabis Talk Agency and Educational Odyssey. And Mark Goldman is with me today. Mark Goldman is the managing partner and media relations specialist at Goldman McCormick PR. And he also does a lot of commentary all over the country. And we love it when he's on our show. Forbes magazine named GoldmanMcCormick.com best PR agency. And so here we are. So we've had quite a few stories. Now we've been to Detroit, and now our next story leads us to another landmark marijuana legalization bill. Tell us about
this one. Frankie. Sorry to cut you off there. Anyway, the U.S. House of Representatives, for the second time in history, passed a sweeping bill just recently that would end the federal government's prohibition on marijuana, but the Senate looms as a big hurdle to passage of this legislation measure. I actually remember reporting on this a different time. The lower chamber voted 220-204 to pass a Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, also known as the MORE Act, which would remove the plan from the Federal Controlled Substance Act and open up the industry to additional multi-billion dollar business opportunities and access to traditional banking services, which is very important, which we should talk about in just a moment. The MORE Act would not only decriminalize marijuana, Frankie, but also reinvest in communities harmed by war on drugs and provide expungement on certain cannabis convictions. The vote was along party lines, with only three Republicans supporting the measure. So we got to get on those Republicans to help out. But going back to the traditional banking services, if you own a marijuana company or a cannabis company or THC or hemp or whatever else, there are only certain banks that'll let you utilize their banking services.
Yes, it's pretty slim, slim pickings. And by the way, I have to just say that there are many credit card companies that are not happy at all about cannabis and hemp and CBD being sold online, and they have closed operations. And many, many people that I know of in the past 3 years were shut down without any advanced notice. Their sites were closed. And the money, I mean, what a mess with the money, just because they sold a book on CBD. So, the inequalities within the inequalities is just, it's mind-boggling. It really is. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's crazy. And you know what? The fact that we're reporting on this story again about the landmark marijuana legislation bill is ridiculous. These politicians need to figure this out and get it done and support America and support marijuana and cannabis and CBD and hemp and everything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a question for you. Is this next story legit, or is this just like kind of a fun story, or is it real?
You know, I'm a vegetarian, as I believe you are as well. So this
I am. Yes.
Be a great story. And I didn't know if you were going to skip it or not, but here we go anyway. So, Frankie, a new study suggests feeding cattle industrial hemp reduces their stress levels and makes them lie down more. That could prove beneficial to ranchers because relaxed cows tend to be healthier. Researchers, and this is real, at the Kansas State University said hemp could be a natural way to decrease stress-related respiratory infections and other ailments when cattle are being transported or weaned off their mothers. After the 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp production in the United States, interest grew in hemp as an agricultural commodity, including as feed for animals. But the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, also known as the U.S. FDA, approval would be required before hemp could be really approved for livestock or pets. It definitely is a very interesting study. I guess, you know, for the meat eaters out there, or the whatever you'd like to call them, I guess this would also help cows to relax, to, you know, to, I don't know, to kill them for meat purposes and whatever else, right? But this is 100% a big study. There was a lot of research in this article. And yeah. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, ah, this is crazy. But I read the whole article and got some more information and studies and whatever else. And it's definitely truth.
Well, you know, as much as I don't eat animal protein as you, I think it's an interesting story. And I think that the plant is such a great plant. It can help in so many areas. And if it helps with anxiety and if it can help the animals, I'm all for it, Mark. I really am.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, you know, it's important. And it definitely helps out, and it'll, you know, make them less stressed so they could relax and chill and be nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I love our next story, because this is a very exciting story, and one that goes back to the early days of our own country. But do share with us about hemp paper.
Yeah, so a joint project. Bum-bum. You like that? Joint project? You like? No?
I like that, yes. Bada bing, bada bang, and bada boom. Yep.
Ah, no comment. A joint project to produce a tree-free letterpress paper suitable for commercial printing has delivered one of its first commercially viable hemp papers of the planet. The project was conceived by Maren King. She's a photographer and environmental activist who's writing a book on industrial hemp. Her research led to a German paper manufactured called, I cannot pronounce it in German. It's a, I can't even try. I don't know.
It
anyway, the
yeah,
development
yeah.
of this hemp paper now on offer to others, as well as success of this project, as mentioned in her book. Her book is called H is for Hemp, which might be a fun read. Along with other adventures Maren undertook as she wrote the book in a five-year journey around the world. The book is intended as a reference guide for those interested in the history of industrial hemp as well as modern uses. Bottom line is that, you know, hemp paper, just like hemp clothing and hemp used for so many different products out there, are going to be start to be utilized more and more. This is a fantastic thing. Let's stop cutting down trees. Let's recycle more, and let's use hemp for paper. It's brilliant.
Well, you know, the United States Constitution, guess what it was, what they used for it?
Beer? No, I don't know.
Tell yeah. Hemp.
There you go.
Hemp was huge. Absolutely huge. Kellogg used hemp in the early days. Ford used hemp. I mean, this is not something new. We go back decades and eons with this plant. So thousands of years and ceremonial uses throughout the world, religious uses, and hemp clothing has been around. I know that my friend that owns French Meadow Organic Bakery and Cafe in Minneapolis, Lynn Gordon, one of the first in the country to put a hemp product out. She worked really hard with Dr. Bronner, David there, and John Rulak. They worked really hard to change the laws to make it functional, and she put hemp in her breads back then, and they were called functional breads, and hemp bread was good for men. And it was used as the prototype for her men's brand in her delicious breads that she made, whole grain breads that were just absolutely fabulous. And she wore, at every one of our conferences, she wore hemp shirts and beautiful hemp clothing that she had made specifically for the trade booth. So everything in the booth was hemp. It was awesome. It was awesome. And unfortunately, decades later, no one has taken that baton and continued that pioneering spirit as Lynn Gordon, which is a shame. But yeah, I think hemp, this could be, I'm hoping it leads to more. I really do. I'm hoping it goes even further. So now, this is the next story. We have time, I think, real quick before we go to break. But tell us about these amnesty boxes. So
you know,
interesting.
We actually spoke about this last year when this, I believe, first came out. So millions of passengers have flown in and out of Chicago since weed was fully legalized in Illinois, but only a few dozen have pitched their pot in the cannabis amnesty boxes set up at the city's two major airports. Shortly after the prohibition on recreational pot was lifted at the start of 2020, social media users joked when the receptacles first appeared near every TSA checkpoint at O'Hare and Midway International Airports, offering a place to ditch your weed or your marijuana or whatever else.
So wait, I'm gonna let you finish the story because people need to stay tuned to hear whether or not they've been in use or not all these years later. So hold that thought, Mark Goldman. This is Frankie Boyer. Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey with Frankie Boyer. We'll be back in just a moment with Goldman. McCormick.com is the website. Mark Goldman, stay tuned. And the question is, welcome back, Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey with Frankie Boyer, Mark Goldman. We're in the middle of this hour-long stories from all over the country, what's happening in the world of cannabis, the latest stories. So the question is, Mark Goldman, cannabis boxes, the amnesty boxes, are they used at all at the Chicago airports?
Right. You know what? If I was on a plane in Chicago and I had some sort of product on me, I would definitely put it in one of these boxes. But Frankie, only 34 collections have been made from January 2020 through March 2022.
Wow.
Pardon me, at O'Hare, and 12 at Midway, according to logs obtained through an opens record request. Only half the logs show that either cannabis, suspected cannabis, or a green leafy substance was recovered from these boxes. The others don't really mention weed, with one log showing only plastic bags were found during a check, indicating the boxes may in some cases double as trash cans, which is obviously no good, not what it's there for. In many instances, Frankie, multiple items, including bags and packages, were pulled from a box at once, the record show. The recovered items were destroyed 14 times, for whatever reason, but were marked simply as received in most cases. Kind of interesting that these people are not utilizing, these collection points.
Isn't that interesting? I just would have thought it would have been a little like, oh, gosh, I have my joint with me. Let me drop it in the box. But apparently people are smart or they're wise or they won't travel interstate or I don't know. What do you think it is?
You know what? It's a sad thing to do because I'll tell you, I was in Amsterdam about 20 years ago, and I remember I had product left from the days or my trip, my 3 days trip, whatever it might be. And it was the saddest thing to throw it out, you know, and you wanted to, you tried to, but sometimes you just can't. So maybe people try to sneak it on planes or whatever else with them. I don't know. Or maybe people aren't utilizing it all, or maybe just Chicago hasn't educated the public enough on this yet.
Maybe. I don't know. It's fascinating, though. It really is. All right. So imagine unlicensed dispensaries showing up and of all places, New York City. Tell us about this story, Mark.
Again, my home state, so this is a very big story. This is all over the headlines today, over every single newspaper you could possibly read. This is really interesting breaking news there, Frankie. So New York City is already known for having one of the most robust underground cannabis markets in the world, allegedly, wink, wink. There's no shortage of products or sophisticated branding, and convenient home delivery has been the norm ever since the advent of the cell phones. And I'll tell you what, it's really even before that, allegedly. Anyway, but since New York legalized marijuana for adult use last March and lowered the penalties for unlawful sales, it's also become increasingly easier to pick up a pre-rolled joint or bag of gummies from a store. That's the case even though the first licensed dispensaries aren't supposed to open until the end of 2022. Some shops point to loopholes in the law to make the case that they're operating legally. Not so much. Anyway, Frankie, some of the dispensaries that have opened seek to exploit loopholes in the state's Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act to make the case that they're operating legally. Others have any pretense out there that they're not really selling weed out the window. And it's all kind of very interesting. There's a lot of legal and political loopholes here, but there are a lot of stores in New York City, selling vape cartridges, THC vape cartridges, and cannabis-related products, not just CBD-oriented products anymore. It's weird when you walk around.
That is strange. But it will change by the end of 2022.
Absolutely. And listen, New York City is going through a big economic crisis, and a lot of these stores are going under. And is it right for them to be doing this because it's kind of illegal? Probably not, but, you know, people have to live.
Yeah, I guess.
Feed your family.
So our last story is on the D.C. Council. Tell us about this.
This is one of my favorite stories. I got to be honest with you. The D.C. Council on Tuesday, just a few days ago, rejected a bill that would have allowed residents to purchase medical marijuana without a prescription. It's a measure that would have penalized so-called gifting shops, which sell other items such as art or clothing, and include a free gift of cannabis with a purchase. The council voted 8-5 in favor of the bill, but because it was emergency legislation, it needed the 9 votes to advance. The councilman Phil Mendelson has pushed the measure amid concern from owners of D.C. legal and taxable medical marijuana dispensaries who say that they have been losing business to such shops. You know what? I'm a little mixed on this story. I do find it fascinating, but the gifting shops are pretty cool. So you could go to, you know, a lot of these stores and they'll just give you little samples, which is fun. Yeah, it's like going to Costco and getting samples, right, Frankie?
Yes,
or
yes.
Either one.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I just was reading a story from the from one of the daily publications saying that the cannabis business ponders the impacts of the Ukraine invasion, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine further upends cannabis supply chains. So it's so interesting, isn't it, that it's even affecting the global supply chain crunch, and the U.S. marijuana sector will feel the pinch along with its mainstream counterparts. And is in particular, product packaging and solvents for extraction processes are expected to skyrocket in price because of this war. That's an addition,
sure,
the expert
really
said.
That, but you know, let's yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't. That's in addition to, the expert said, to increase shipping costs from Asia, the recent spike in gasoline prices, manpower shortages in key sectors, and even an increase in the price of steel used for canned goods. All that means life isn't getting any easier for U.S. cannabis companies, only costlier and more complex. And they're saying double or even triple up on sourcing for vital supplies, because single sources probably won't be as reliable this year as they might have been in the past. And, oh, and we've got to go. Hey, Mark, this has been so much fun. Thank you for being with us today. This has been another edition of Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Thank you so much, Mark Goldman from GoldmanMcCormick.com. And we will see you next time right here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Make it a great day. And as always, smile.
And maybe tomorrow you'll see that life is still worthwhile.